supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Now just 3 weeks out from a total solar eclipse traversing the United States, let's follow the sun with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, those lucky enough to be in the direct path will experience totality for some 2.5 minutes. NASA has the means to deploy a solar stretcher.
Yes, NASA plans to study the corona during the solar eclipse in an effort to try to better understand why the corona is so hot, but even more so why the corona at such incredible temperature of millions of degrees is so uniform in its structure. But in order to do this, they need a much longer period of time to observe totalities, so 2 minutes 30 or 40 seconds really doesn't do it for them. Their intent is to use two retired military bombers with cameras on board to stretch out the time. So they'll do this by flying along at about 470 miles an hour. So they'll get about 8 minutes of totality out of it altogether.
Are these drone flights, or will there be pilots lucky enough to experience it?
They actually are piloted aircraft, and it's a very kind of interesting maneuver that they're going to be doing. They're going to come at the eclipse shadow, the moon shadow, from two sides, and they're going to use this as a way to gather as much information as they can from different directions that will maximize their resolution and a few other things. But they're not going to be able to keep up with the shadow because the shadow will be moving at 1,400 miles an hour.
Now, too bad they can't bring that supersonic Concorde out of retirement. It was more than four decades ago that it chased a total solar eclipse. It was able to keep up for over an hour.
Yes, it did very, very well. This was back in 1973. A group of astronomers decided to follow that eclipse using the Concorde. And with supersonic transport, they could manage to keep up for 74 minutes.
Unless you're traveling south, Philadelphia region residents will also miss out. When was the last time a total solar eclipse traversed the city of brotherly love?
The last time a total solar eclipse passed over Philadelphia, you ready for this? 539 years ago, just last Friday, 1478. So there's no real historical record of that eclipse taking place here in the Americas, although that's the last time a total solar eclipse passed right over Philadelphia as we now know it.
Can we work the numbers and determine when the next one might come?
We certainly can. The next total solar eclipse for Philadelphia is in 2079. That says that solar eclipses are rare, right? No, they aren't actually rare. You can have no less than two, no more than five in a year, although five is really, really, really rare. But what makes solar eclipses rare is where they occur.
Because the bandwidth of totality is so narrow?
It's more because of the geometry of how this whole thing works. It's like the planet Earth is just the canvas for this incredible dance of celestial mechanics that involves the Earth's position around the sun, the moon's position around the Earth, how all these things come together. And then there are a number of cycles of lunar and planetary motion that combine to create the length of the path, the width of the path, where the path goes, all of these things mix together in a way that might not cause an eclipse to come back to a particular location for another 600 or more years.
The three needed ingredients, the Earth, the sun, and the moon. And regarding the latter, I understand there is more discoveries of water. Are we talking molecules, milliliters, or buckets?
It depends where you're going to measure. If you're measuring right out on the surface of the moon, well, we're talking molecules. The way in which sunlight bombards the moon allowed for the combination of molecules to form into water, and then that was freezing in the craters that were constantly in the dark. Not very much water. This new study is suggesting that the interior of the moon, the mantle just under the crust, has far more water in it than we originally suspected. In fact, some have suggested in earlier studies that if we could melt a lot of that water out, we could get probably a foot or so of water deep across the entire surface of the moon. But before we begin drilling our artesian wells and other sorts of ways to get at this vast reservoir of water that's just waiting there, we have to realize that what we're talking about is molecular water that's bound in the rocks themselves. The way this study was done is that an analysis looking at surface materials from satellite images showed us that volcanic eruptive material, lava having flowed out onto the surface, brought us material from the mantle that indicated this higher presence of amounts of water than ever known before. And if we are clever about how we process lunar soil, we could derive some of that water from the material that could possibly be used as part of the supplies that would help with the operation of a base on the surface of the moon. After all, water is one of the most expensive things we can move from the Earth into space by rocket. It would cost hundreds of millions of dollars to move just water to provide enough supply on the moon. So we're either going to make it there from hydrogen and oxygen, or we're going to find it as a resource there that hopefully we can figure out how to mine more cheaply than it costs to bring it from Earth or manufacture it from the oxygen and hydrogen that we might have to bring with us to make that work.
Hearing this, I imagine the good folks at Brita are already at work developing the appropriate filter.
Are you kidding? I had my plans in mind to bottle the water myself and call it moon water. It's out of this world.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.